Well, it looks like James Bell, eager to get onto his vacation, may have accidentally slipped the character creation chapter into today's Ether manuscript preview for us. Looks like the first 14 pages of the new preview are all about Squires, Gogs, and Magogs. And then starting on page 15, boom, we've got the character creation rules, which weren't supposed to drop until August 2nd. Hey, welcome back to Trinity Continuum Airwaves. My name is Corey Reynolds. I am your host. This is a podcast all about the Trinity Continuum. And we're talking about the new Ether Kickstarter that's going on and all the fun we've been having there. We have our third manuscript preview today, including a little bit of the fifth manuscript preview. But lots of cool things in store. And we're going to have more to say about the Squires, Gogs, and Magogs. I personally am very excited to finally have those defined in some concrete ways. And so I can't wait to talk about that. But that's going to have to wait for probably a little bit later this week, because we have a very special guest with us on the show today. We have with us today Kim Godwin, who's one of the writers on the Ether Project, and I'd like for her to just kind of introduce herself a little bit and tell what parts of the book that she got to work on.
All right. Hi, my name's Kim. I'm a freelance writer. I'm actually more of a horror writer, but I kind of been writing everything since I started working with Onyx Path. I specifically wrote the Societies chapter, and then I got asked to fill in for part of chapter 3 about the Magog, so I got to write the little blurbs for that as well.
Very cool. So when you say you wrote the Societies chapter, do you mean that you're the one who actually put all of those societies together in there?
Yes. So there are, like, some of the ones are from the outline where they were during the pitch. It's like, these are the main societies that we want, and then these are the marker, you know, the little short summary of what they are, and then I had to fill all of that out. But there was a few societies that I got to completely create, like my two minor societies, my Cavaliers de Leaf, the Os Vahantes, and the Three Prongs. Those are like, okay, we need something different. Go for it. Just make it up. I'm like, oh God.
Very
Here
cool.
We go.
And some of those are I don't know how to pronounce the Viantes thing, but that one and the Three Prongs I thought were extremely cool, by the way. I haven't actually read 100% of all of the entries, but those I was very much interested in. So awesome. Well, that's very cool to think that you actually wrote all of those things. I would have expected to have like three or four people working together doing all of that, but that's pretty neat. So tell us a little bit then about what were some of your inspirations for doing this? You mentioned that there was an outline that was given, but of course you brought a lot of your own creativity to the project. So what sort of things did you draw on?
So there is a compendium of Victorian era public domain characters that we were like, hey, if you want to draw some inspiration from this, go here. In front of all of the Trinity Continuum books, as well as most of the books from Onyx Path, there's like inspirational media. So it's right. Like, hey, these books fit the theme really well. This is what we were thinking of. These movies and that sort of thing. I was listening to the audiobook of The Time Machine because it's been a while since I've read it. I was listening to the Orson Welles radio play of War of the Worlds, which is always fun. And then going Very back cool. through what I liked about certain stories or certain characters that I could have a chance for. And then like doing the historical research, it's like, okay, I need a society that is not in Europe. Where can I put it? What else was going on during this time period? Because I'm more familiar with what was going on in Europe. Right. I have some intelligence analytics background. So like I was looking at stuff that was going on in Asia, because that's kind of one of my areas of focus. And then looking, it's like, okay, if I have one in Asia, let's put one somewhere else, because it's like, well, where do we not see a lot of, it's like, hey, what about Brazil? What's going on in Brazil? Cause I was thinking of the search for El Dorado, and I thought, hey, that might be a right. cool kind of hook. It's like, well, what was going on in the 1890s in that area? And it was like, huh, okay, well, you had the Civil War, they ended slavery, and then the Vatican was just running around dealing with stuff too. So I was like, okay, let's, maybe I can do that. So, and then I was looking at the different native cultures and what they were doing that was mystical, that might be kind of cool, that might fit in with that. It's like, hey, astral projection, where can, maybe using astral projection with aether gates, with aether could create these gateways to other worlds. So maybe you could find El Dorado, or maybe you could open up that pocket dimension and then end up in over your head in an era of dinosaurs and saber-tooth talkers, you know, that portal to the lost world, and now you're dealing with the Brazilian velociraptors, which actually wouldn't be discovered until mid-1900s. So I did stuff like that. Like when I was looking at the three prongs, I was like, okay, let's do something in India, because India's got so much rich culture. And right now it's during this era, it's the Raj, but they still had their own stuff. They still had their temples. So it's like, okay, I really want to put something in Kolkata, because I thought that would be fun. And it's like, let's do something with Kali, because Kali has those three aspects to her with Hinduism, Sikhism, and a lot of Buddhism. You have this trinity where you have this destroyer, the creator, and the knowledge, the maiden mother crone type of thing. So it's like, okay, well, I could do it. That Calcutta is actually named after Kali, and I was researching different temples that might have been around during the time, and then I found one entry in my travels that was badly translated into English that was talking about this hidden temple of Kali that was buried, and how people were like, no, don't freaking go there. It's haunted. There's a lot of bad vibes there. This temple of Kali was buried to seal something inside of it. And I'm like, I'm going to use that. So, and I was talking to some Indian writers to ask what their perspectives are about, like, a Westerner writing about Kali. And I was like, well, I want to kind of focus on that her other less destructive aspects when she's still Pavarti. And they really like that. And then it was like, hey, I found all these cool temples. What do you think? So it was I spend so much time researching. And it's like, okay, you have to stop researching. There's a deadline you have to meet. Okay. Right. And then, like, cramming as much of that research and those little name drops, and then threading in like historical stuff, like for the Esoteric Order of Aeons, I was very tempted to use the Order of the Golden Dawn, Hermetic Dawn, Golden Dawn, because it was an actual group that did a lot of the European mysticism, focusing on Egypt, a lot of appropriation and weird occultism, because Crowley came from that group. As a basis, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that, because I don't want to. There's a lot of bad stuff that goes in with that, and it's like, let's try to do something else. And I found out that during the Victorian era, Victorian lady societies, the thing that they did because they were bored and they were rich, is they funded exploration into Egypt. So they were the ones that were funding a lot of those digs, and then they were collecting a lot of that. So that's how a lot of those artifacts and stuff were ending up in Britain.
That gels with my understanding of the movie Stargate, where it was a lady who was the one that had owned the Stargate dig or something like that, you know, kind of. That's all I know about ladies funding Egyptian digs. Everything I know about that, I learned from Stargate.
Yeah, it's just like finding like these little snippets that pique your interest, and then keep going from there, and then you just kind of follow those rabbit holes. And then, like, I looked at names of people, so it's like some of these are like historical figures. Like, I had to figure out the timelines between Tesla working for Edison, because that actually happened, and when he was in the States and what he was doing, how long did he work for Edison. And then, like, trying to marry those things together. And then looking for cool places to put things. Because it's like, okay, well, obviously we're focusing, because Victorian era, we think a lot of Britain. We think about Europe. So it's like, okay, what are some cool places? And I think I found, for the HPD, I found, like, the Devil's Gate, which is, like, a base that's abandoned now on the Straits of Gibraltar. Like, there's this cool, weird thing that weird named, like, Giants Monument or something in Britain that I thought, hey, that might be a cool place for the Somme to have their thing. And then, like, the Black Forest and stuff like that. And,
yeah. Like, yeah, I liked all of the Black Forest references. I used to actually live very close to there. And so as I started reading about some of that stuff, my ears were definitely perking up on that. It's definitely cool seeing all of these different places scattered all around there. And like you said, kind of not, you know, yes, so much of the focus is on Europe and Britain, especially like the Royal Society kind of a thing. But then also just having all of these other potential locations and potential stories, because each one of them is very different than another. A game that you play for the three prongs is going to be like 100% different than playing for the Her Majesty's Planetary Defense Force, you know. So that gives so much latitude, so much just a broad range of games that can be played with this one book. Provides essentially like a lifetime's worth of storytelling potential. So kudos to you on all of that. That was really an amazing feat to bring all of those different things together in that chapter. But, you know, one of the things I noticed going, you know, reading through some of those entries there is, and I've noticed this about a lot of different Onyx Path products and whatnot. We talk about Exalted a lot on our other show, the Deliberative Podcast. And, you know, we've noted how through the third edition of Exalted, there's like a concerted effort to put so much more story hooks and even like kind of a little bit off kilter story hooks spread throughout a lot of places where in the second edition of the game, there weren't as many, and they've really ramped up the weird. And I've noticed going through the society's part of Aether that a lot of these societies, as they're written up, they have a lot of interesting motivations that don't really, not that they don't go along with the main thrust, but they seem to be a little bit unexpected. Like, for instance, the society in opposition of monsters, they have, yes, they want to put down monsters, and if you're telling an SOM game, you're all going to be like monster hunters and equipped with cool Van Helsing repeating crossbows maybe and stuff like that. But the other thing is that the leaders of the organization are actually kind of wanting the same things that these Gogs and Magogs that they're hunting have pursued, like immortality with the sanguinivores and things like that. But they're just kind of wanting to perfect it, take the monstrous out of it and still keep the benefit. And that is a little bit, you know, like I said, it's off kilter, subversive of the theme, but it makes for a really cool story. And of course, your creative juices get going when you read that and you think of like, you know, a dozen different types of games that you could play that just kind of bring in a little slice of that weird to the overall, you know, very well understood theme. So as you creating all of these different societies and putting many of these little story hooks and things like that in there, if you were to create a game that involved one of these societies and wanted to go in a weird direction like this, what do you think would be the most out-of-the-box thinking type of adventure story using one of your societies that you could put together?
So like mashing together societies that seem like they'd be in direct opposition. So if you put like the Three Prongs and the Her Royal Majesty's Planetary Defense Pact, because it is the Raj and the Three Prongs, their other thing is very much they're trying to liberate their country from colonial powers. So if you stick those guys together, because you have like the Planetary Defense Pact, their main thing is they're trying to stop the alien invasion and they're trying to use any tools they can. So they may not, because they are the military, they are the government, they may not be looking for weird mysticism, but it's like if you start going down trains of thought of if you start thinking of like the CIA stuff with the men who stare at goats, or the Russians, the Soviets rather, at the like way back when, or looking at the Nazis and their obsession with the paranormal and the occult. So if you put those two groups together and they're trying to investigate whether or not the Three Prongs in their sacred hidden temple underneath the city of Calcutta, that's a temple of Kali that has something sealed inside, is that actually a Martian ship? Is it a part of the goddess? In the Three Prongs write-up, I was saying that it's like they think it's an ancient alien that kind of like a demon that fell from the sky and has been entombed there. So the temple has been buried to seal it. So what would happen if the pack decided that they want to crack open the tomb because of construction? Maybe it was an accident. Maybe blasting and construction above kind of cracked the seal and kind of dumped them into the middle of the temple rather than like being blatant. I don't like this thing. I'm going to destroy it. Or I want to build a sewer system in here. Something like infrastructurally that has nothing insidious actually behind it. And they accidentally crack this open. And so now you're dealing with whatever's in this tomb.
Yeah, I was thinking as you're describing that about, it's sort of like a mashup of some of the themes from The Mummy, like the Brendan Fraser Mummy, with the Roswell incident, you know, from like the 1940s, or like what you see in Independence Day, you know, like this, we have an ancient spaceship crash mixed with the mummy and breaking open a tomb and releasing a curse or whatever. And I think putting those two ideas together like that with maybe it's a spaceship in this ancient Indian temple or whatever is like one of the coolest things ever. That would make a phenomenal movie, by the way.
Yeah. If you want to make it even weirder, you could throw in the Children of Mars. Maybe they're trying to steal it too, or maybe they're trying to steal it. So you have these three groups. Of course, there'd be other people that you could throw in there, like some would probably come in and try to help fight whatever the thing is, or help contain it. The Unwiters might show up to try to, like, we need to put this back in the box. Or maybe they try to steal the technology. Just because it's bad doesn't mean we can't figure out how to use it and monetize it and make it so it's safe. It's safe and regulated. The Tesla might show up to, students of Tesla might show up to, like, study it. Or maybe there's like some sort of reading that they want to do.
Or maybe it's a prelude to the invasion, going and unlocking the temple, finding this thing in there, finding a clock counting down, and then the start to the invasion proper or whatever, you know, could be a kind of a cool way of running through some of those scenarios. But
yeah, there's just different ways you can loop other groups into that, because like the Esoteric Order of Aeons, they love to document and report on it. So maybe they'd help temper it or stuff like that. Or maybe you would have to get one of the travelers, the Os Avahantes, in to help like open the gateway to throw this thing home. So like there's different ways you could go about it to try mixing and matching all these different groups that you like, because a lot of people don't like having monolith games. They like doing the variety stuff. Mm-hmm. So that sort of scenario would be a lot of fun, because you could pretty much socket any other group in there if you make the main conflict between the prongs and maybe the HRF, and then it's like you're dealing with themes of colonialism, and then you're also dealing with science versus religion as well, old versus new. So it's like different themes that you could play on, and it could do super scientific, or you could go super horror, which is kind of like, I like science horror because that can be even more horrifying. It's like, oh my god, this is in the realms of possibility. There are actually words to describe this, and they're all awful.
Very cool. Well, thank you for providing so much imagination fuel for everybody out there. I'm sure a lot of people are taking notes thinking, this, I can't wait to play this game. This will be really fun. Yeah, okay, then I'll do this and that. Yeah, so very neat. Yeah, appreciate your insight into that and all of your work on that chapter, and we look forward to seeing so much more from this book as the manuscript previews release. Anyway, I'm thankful for what you have done for the book, and I'm glad to meet you and have you on the show. And thank you for sharing your ideas with everyone. And we wish you the best and look forward to other things that you'll be working on in the future, no doubt. And maybe we can have you back and talk about some of those things. But thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Well, that's pretty much going to wrap it up for this episode. But remember, the phone lines are always open, 678-369-3214. Give us a call, leave a message. We will put you on the air. And we hope to see you again later this week as we talk about all of the new stuff that's been released in the Squires, Gogs, Magogs, and Character Creation chapter. So we will look forward to seeing all of you in that next one.